You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. We are back from our spring break, and I'm joined by Sarah Haynes. This is Behind the Table. All right, it is Monday and we are back. The View is back. Behind the Table is back. How about that? I mean, people were very upset that we weren't on the air for a week, which tends to happen. They believe fully in their bones that we should work 365 days a year. How do you feel about it, Sarah?
I disagree. I will push back on that. When I got back, we always ask each other, how was break? And one thing I realized is when you're out of work, it's why you work. It's why you have jobs, is so much to remember that these are the pinnacle moments of appreciating all of it and living a little.
Yeah. Well, we come back refreshed, I think, in a lot of ways. And I think it helps the show long term. But what people don't realize, I tried not to look, but I got lots of messages and, how are you off this week with all this going on and Kristi Noem and Trump and this? I'm like, we planned this out about a year in advance when we're going to be off.
Scheduling our spring break would not have saved Cricket the dog.
No, it would not have. And the reality of it is no matter what, when we're not on the air, crazy things happen.
It's inevitable. It's Murphy's Law.
It always happens.
Yeah.
The way things go, we're actually on more than your average daytime talk show. I think we are probably on the most of all the daytime talk shows, but here we are. So let's start off with something we didn't get to mention on the show today, but a very, very exciting thing that happened right when we went on break. We were nominated for 6 Daytime Emmy Awards. How about that?
That's really cool.
We were nominated for Best Daytime Talk Series, Best Daytime Talk Show Hosts, Directing
Makeup.
Team, Lighting Direction, Art Direction, Set Direction, and Scenic Design, and as you said, hairstyling and makeup. The only people on staff that are as excited as I am about nominations are the hair and makeup teams.
They just feel like the clear victors of anyone. If they don't get a nomination, which I think happened one year, I'm like, this system is broken.
Well,
because they're so good.
The whole team really
deserves it. The whole team is great,
it.
But like hair and makeup, I mean, they go up against, when you look at how many people they're doing, all the different looks, I think they're so talented.
Yeah. Congratulations to our View team for all the nominations.
Yes.
And we deserved even more, but I'm so proud of everybody and excited for the Daytime Emmys. And is this your first host nomination since we've been back? Or second, maybe.
I think it's been second because
we didn't get Best Host the year after you came back, and I blamed you.
Oh, you literally walked up to my door, and I was like, "Oh, I can't believe!" And I was thinking it because the one change was I was back, and you're like, "Yeah, so what's the same and what's different?" And I was like, okay, let's just say it. You're blaming me.
I just like to tease you.
You do like to tease me. I think we only didn't get it last year.
Yeah.
So I think there was a year in between.
Well, I'm very excited. We're back and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yes.
It'll be a lot of fun. All right. So let's talk about vacations. How was your vacation? You went away with just your husband.
Just Max and I. Because none of our spring breaks line up, though. Two youngest kids have one. Alec has another. We have a different one. And so last year was the first year Max and I got away for a few days on our own once we figured out how to do that. And I always wish there was a way to do it more often. We don't have really great options or infrastructure to pull it off, but that means this one time a year, we are like, it sounds so silly, but you really remember why you're together when you're alone. The talking, the joking. Max said at the end of our trip, he goes, "We didn't fight once." And I'm like, yeah, those dang kids. It's the kids. Like, because like it was almost like we're very much alike. One of us is like, should we run? Love our workouts. So we're like, do you want to run? Or should we do the? Yeah. It's always like we ebb and flow and there's no pushback and never like, I want to do this. I want to do this. We literally are like this moving thing. Only on vacation.
So you have me to thank for scheduling a vacation where your kids were in school.
Yes.
So it worked out.
So what it's all coming back to is thank you, Brian.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. No, since I first had kids, it's been very important to me that my wife and I get away at least once a year.
That's
just
great.
The two of us. I think the fact that I still like going away on vacation with my wife is a good sign and get excited about it. Like that's kind of what you want. And it really, we don't fight on vacation.
Yeah.
We get along better on vacation than in the day-to-day world.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
It shouldn't shock me that much, though, because we were excited to go away.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this would happen. But like a day in, you're like, oh my gosh, like, why is this so shocking that we like each other so much?
How do the kids do when you're away? Do they miss you horribly? Or
I think they function like little people that like are worried about the day in front of them. So we learned when I'd go away for the chase
mm-hmm.
that FaceTiming was not productive, because when I went away, before I left for the chase a couple years ago, I recorded reading their favorite books at night,
because
I thought, oh, well, it sounded sweet. I recorded the books, was so excited. I said, Max, you'll reveal one of these each night. It'll be a way for me to feel close. Alec broke down, and then Sandra was like, I just want her back. And and then I tried FaceTiming, and we lost them again. And Max said, you know what? I almost think it's better to check, like, you get your knowledge, but let's not put us face-to-face with them. And that's how we vacation. We're very much in touch with who's staying with our kids, like, all day long. And they'll send us video messages, but we do not call or FaceTime.
It's usually grandparents that have my kids when we're away.
I wish we had your grandparents.
And they don't even want to come to the phone when we call half the time. They're having so much fun, which is such like a freeing thing. They're as excited
refreshing.
To push us out the door as we are to leave. So it doesn't say much for me as a parent, but it's wonderful for the vacation.
It sounds like great grandparents.
Yes, excellent grandparents on both sides. All right, so I did hear that Alec got a black guy.
Oh, yeah. He got a shiner. We were at a baseball game yesterday, and he was playing third base. And at this level, they rotate a lot. So it's mm-hmm. not like you have that spot. But the worst part was I have the two little ones with me. Max is coaching this year. He's one of the assistant coaches. So he's in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the chair, and I'm I'm sitting there while trying to watch the game, but also keeping my eye on the two younger ones who are at the playground, you know, like just kind of going back and forth. I had just walked to make sure that Sandra and Caleb hadn't separated, and I see a player down, and I hear someone going, oh, what happened? Who's hit? And I see the number. I see his number. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was a common thing. The ball had come and it bounced funny and came right up and hit him in the eye. But it got pretty swollen and black and blue. And this morning, Max was like, Alec was so upset it was still there. He thought, you know, he's like, I slept. Why is it not gone?
Yeah.
And Max said, you know, the ladies will love it. And Alec got so mad. He's like, Papa, why would the ladies love it? He didn't understand why his boo-boo would be impressive.
Well, you know. He'll learn as he gets older. Chicks dig the scars.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a moment.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Jim Gaffigan was on the show today.
And, I love that man.
Yeah, speaking about kids, this is his go-to talk show story always because people are fascinated by it. The man has 5 children.
I know.
You have 3 kids. Last time I checked, there's nothing new there, right?
Nothing new.
Okay. Could you ever imagine having 5? I have 2, and that sounds crazy to me. I can't imagine 3, frankly.
Well, so I think it's – I always wanted 4 because I'm 1 of 4.
Right.
So I came in with ideas, privileged thoughts before you're on the ground doing the work. And I think after 2, I don't know if we would have chosen to have 3 if Caleb wasn't a bit of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And we even said on vacation, we were like – I leaned over. I said, you know, Max, I'm so grateful that – it wasn't left up to us, because if we had logicked our way into a third child,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we could have done it, like
right.
with how busy we were. But you find a way. Paula Ferris actually told me the best thing. She's like, when you get 1 kid, you feel overwhelmed and it's too much. You have 2 and then you realize that you had time and a little space and manageability with 1. Then you have 3 and you realize 2 was actually even easier. So with each child, you just adapt
mm-hmm.
in a way that If we had four, this situation might feel easier. Jim probably looks at my situation as like, that's kindergarten.
I can't imagine. Yeah, even three, I think, like, is, you know, when you can no longer play it man to man, it becomes.
Yeah, and it's the even young now, we're not over scheduling parents because I feel like a 90-year-old man from the 80s in Iowa. Like, I'm constantly like, we will not sign up for everything just because everyone else says we're not going to do that. When I went to camp, it was 1 week and we're not going to. So I come in really hard and Max is always like, let's just reconsider how life has changed since you were that age. But we do find that mix of they need to get bored, they need to play outside. So I try, but the problem is even with basic things, to navigate getting them to different places, and they're not quite ages where you can always drop off and not be there with them, it's almost impossible. Like, we're constantly calling one kid out of something.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything after your 90-year-old man impression, which is just an amazing thing that I'm going to call back to on the show as much as possible. Like, you know, we have Valley Girl with Whoopi. Now I need Sarah Haynes' 90-year-old man.
I've been a 90-year-old man for, like, the amount of complaining and curmudgeonly approaches I have at childhood and how lucky kids are these days. If they only knew. Max is always like, oh, my God, settle down. Like.
All right. Well, that's fantastic, and we'll have to revisit that. All right. We have a question for you.
Okay.
This is from Barry in Sarasota, Florida.
Hi, Barry.
No information here about whether he's a 90-year-old man. How have your personal philosophies changed since being on The View?
First of all, Barry, thanks for the question. Sarasota's beautiful. I would say that, one, I'm sure they have changed, but the biggest thing they've done for me is I've found where my voice and my view are because of the amount of kind of working through stories and headlines and the way it's probably the way I've always approached a topic, like where do I stand checking in with myself. Mm-hmm. But here with ever since the Trump era and headlines and what I've seen sometimes in media and how they cover things, I'm always like digging one step deeper and playing devil's advocate and trying to understand, well, you know, am I getting something wrong here? Am I turning to a biased echo chamber? So, example, today, one of the story topics was about the teachers in Tennessee being armed, you know, like allowing them to carry weapons.
Yeah. And we didn't get to that, obviously.
But we didn't, but I put it on the thing because my first knee-jerk reaction was, oh my gosh, we can't solve the gun problem. Now we're giving teachers guns. And I read in and I started to toy with it a little, and I came out the other end of the article agreeing that maybe this was a good decision. And it was a lot because of the training that goes into it. But I found myself working through that. My first reaction was one way, and then reading in and kind of looking at all that was there, I came out the other end. I also joke this this show has made me super conservative and super liberal at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know which way my Gumby arms are pulling me, but I can't, you know, it's a lot.
One of the things I like that you bring to the show more than really any other host I've worked with, I think, is that you are open at the start of a conversation and that you don't come in as dug in to any particular ideology. Whoopi's the one I can never tell which way she's going to go on something, but I feel like you are willing to be moved on something from the beginning of the conversation when you start to read in. And often I think you'll start somewhere in the meeting and by the time the show ends, you've done a complete turnaround because you've read some stuff. And I feel like, you know, people always ask me what different hosts bring to the show and what makes them important. And it's such a nuanced thing. I mean, you're all so much more than a lawyer or a political pundit or anything else. But one of the things I feel like you do is you're an audience surrogate a lot because you're sometimes, not to say that you're not read up or aware of things, but you are wanting to hear all the viewpoints and then make your decision as you go through it. And it's really valuable.
I think to truly learn, there's got to be a humility involved. I remember an AP math teacher telling me once, he drew on the overhead projector. That should date me, guys. Overhead projector. He did a circle. And then he said, you know, imagine this is everything to learn in the world in a lifetime. And then he puts the speck of a piece of sand. He goes, and guess what? That's how much you'll probably know at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember profoundly understanding that you have to come to conversations admitting that you may not know and you may not be right. Because I've been proven wrong in life multiple times. It's what's shifted me to where I am today. And I'm probably going to be proven wrong and right again on things. And sometimes there's not a wrong and right. And you have to just find where you are in between. And I find that exercise kind of the journey of enlightenment and knowledge in life.
Well, it's important to be willing to evolve a perspective. And because you get more information as you grow up. I look at things completely differently than I did 10 years ago in so many topics. Because I've had experiences, because I've learned things, because I've met people and learned from them. It's really silly to be completely dug in and not willing to learn and experience
this. Yeah.
So,
and thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. And all the hosts are good at it, but I feel like you in particular come in without many preconceptions about how you're going to feel about something, which is good.
Thank you.
All right. We have another question for you. This one's from Marcus in Chicago. He asked, looking back on your beginning days at The View, how were your first couple of days on the show? Were you nervous? Were you scared?
Marcus, I thank you for the question. I was petrified. And that's mainly because I have been saying I wanted to be on a show like The View for my best friend quotes over 15 years. I still remember being asked once, what kind of job would you like? And I couldn't answer. I said, I'm open for a lot. And that person said, that's not going to serve you. Like, you need to know what you want. The next meeting I have, a person in the similar position said, so what chair would you want to sit in? And at the time I was like, a show like The View, a panel show where it's unscripted and opinions. And so knowing that, when I first got invited to be on the show, I had Wi-Fi, which I rarely pay for because I'm a 92-year-old man. But I sat and had an email that came through on a flight, and it was about they want you to fill in on The View. And I thought, that will, when I die, that will be framed on my wall. I filled in on The View. My dream came true. I'm done. Like, I'm going to bow and I'm done. I just remember I was sweating. So I always invite my brother when I'm nervous or my best friend, Aaron. And by the way, Max was in the picture, but Max knows I find more twin energy from my brother and my best friend. Mm-hmm. So we went and it was the Bill Getty days. And I remember being put in a room and my brother and I are 14 months apart and huge fans of the show. So we were both like, the door shuts, we're geeking out. I was like, oh my God, Joe, I feel sweat coming out. Like, can you see the sweat? He's like, you're fine. You're fine. We're here. It's done. Like, you just need to go out there and do your thing. And the nerves were beyond. And I left here thinking, now that we're done here. So the reason I bring all that up is I promised myself that I would hold on to that feeling every day I hear my name read.
Mm-hmm.
I've told this story before. And
no,
every
great.
Day I'm standing backstage, I think for one second, oh my God, it's not just that framed email on my wall. Like, I'm a host of The View. So if you see a giddy smile when I walk around the corner, it's usually because I just had that, like, and then I move on.
And did Bill Getty give you some advice?
He did. He said that day it was going to be four of us at the table. He goes, so there are four people here today. That means you should be talking 25% of the time. And I was like, no pressure. Like, I was aiming for like a word or two for the whole show.
Who was at the table with you?
It was Sherry Shepherd, mm-hmm. Jenny McCarthy, and Whoopi.
Oh, wow.
And that's the day I always tell this story about Sherry. One, in this business, so many people want to work in this business. I'm using a very broad net here. There are so few chairs. There are so few shows and things like that. And it gets less and less the higher you climb. Some of my best stories of why I'm here today are because people help me. But a lot of times people don't want to help. And they really just don't. It's like the Hunger Games of this business. Sherry Shepherd says, right as I'm walking, and they'd already, I think, announced they were leaving. I wasn't on the up and up on the news mm-hmm. of the show. She turns around. She says, I'm on my way out. You're on your way in. You nudge me if you need to get in. And I looked at her and like tears almost came into my eyes. It was the most generous moment, and I've never forgotten that. The moment you're leaving shows for whatever good reason or not, never feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But she was willing in that moment to look at me and say, this is your turn.
And I bet you never nudged.
I never would nudge Sherry Shepherd. I'm a fan of the damn show.
Yeah.
I would never take her up on it. But the spirit in which she offered it tells you so much about Sherry Shepherd.
Yeah, she's great. I'm a big fan
she's
of Sherry.
She's a phenomenal human.
Yeah. No, she's definitely one of the people I wish I had gotten a chance to work with more at The View.
She's friggin' hilarious.
Yeah. She was a correspondent my first season, so she came on a couple of times, but I didn't get
she's
to.
So yeah. fun.
I just talked to her about 30 Rock constantly. I loved her as Mrs. Tracy Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we have one more question. This one is from Dee. She's from New Jersey.
Hi, Dee.
What was the audition process like for The Chase? You're doing an excellent job, and I'm wondering if they just selected you or if you had to do anything to get the gig.
So I had to do things to get the gig. I remember I had to do Brian's smiling because eventually the audition involved him, but
yes.
There was a read I had to do. A casting director got on the phone. I had to do it remotely at the time. It was 2020, and they'd given me some script questions, practice questions, and I channel nerves into preparation. So the amount of preparing for that audition, like the people at The people at Pyramid, when I was a contestant, they said, call if you want to practice the game. I'd call every day. And the guy, Ari, was like, I think you're good. And I was having so much fun. So when I got this from the day I printed it out, I'd read it every day. I'd go over it. I'd ask Max to listen. So I go to read it and the casting director asks, can you go faster? And I went a little faster. Then the next time I went a little faster. I didn't know how I did. I left. And then a week or so later, I get a call from the EP. His name's Vin. And I didn't think, did I get it? But I thought, oh, he's going to let me down. Like, what happened? He ends up telling me, he's asking me why I was reading so fast. I was explaining it was direction. He said, we had a feeling. Would you be willing to do another audition? It made me more nervous because I thought, I didn't get the gig. I don't know what's wrong here. And that's when he asked if we could do it on the set of The View to get a better shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian, you were my contestant.
I was.
And with that tweak of guidance, that even though I could speak, pretty much Vin was saying it's a primetime show. You cannot read at the speed of light. People have to be able to understand you for this to be good. And so I brought it back a notch. You had to pretend you were dumb and didn't know the answers.
Well, that's the story I wanted to get to. So let's take it back to me. The first time we ran through it, there was a problem. What was the problem, Sarah?
You knew the answers?
I got all the answers right. And for the audition for the game show, they needed to see how you reacted to people that got it wrong.
Oh, that's what it was, because I had to, yes. So you're right. And mm-hmm. I had to have all the scenarios of correct and then the next one.
Mm-hmm. But I was just too damn smart is really what happened. Yeah.
I want to say Brian prepared as well, probably reading just as much as I did. But but then I got the call and I remember I was running. We had moved out into the suburbs and I was running and it had started to rain a little and I had makeup on from work and my agent called and said, you know, we're all on the call. And I thought, oh, I'm not that delicate. Like, why are they calling? And then they told me, and I remember jumping up and down thinking, oh my God, I don't live in Brooklyn anymore. I had black streaks down my face from my mascara. I'm leaping through a street by myself. Someone's going to like say something. I got home and I was freaking out.
It's like the end of a Rocky training scene.
It looked like, I mean, you would have thought, and by the way, I all of a sudden found all the energy in the world to run all the way home.
Yeah, of course.
But it was pretty amazing.
All right. So it's not really fair to say that I got you the job, but I feel like I probably,
I feel like they'll 60, cut this 70%. Part if we don't say Brian,
yes.
Teta, and yeah. They're wrapping you.
Yeah, they're wrapping me. All right. On that note.
You got me the job, Brian.
Yes, there
Thank
we
you.
Go. That's all I'm looking for. All right, we have a star-studded week on The View this week. We've got John Leguizamo. We have Jeff Daniels.
Oh,
we have
him.
Brooke Shields. And we have a special segment with Whoopi where she's going to share her new book.
I read the whole thing before I ever landed on vacation.
There you go. Bits and Pieces, My Mother, My Brother, and Me. So we're going to really, you guys are going to interview Whoopi about this book, which is a really insightful memoir.
I haven't been able to, I've like been ambushing her with questions about the book. I hope I left something for the segment.
Well, they'll definitely want to save something for the segment, but that's going to be great. So people get to see that. She's going to talk about it for the first time here on The View.
Wow.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today, Sarah. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Sunny. As always, we want to hear from you. So check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline. Give us a call or a text, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.